The last item that I wanted to deal with, at least right now, which we started to touch upon, was the Ursanef. So yesterday, I think we've spoken enough about the question of what is the Rambam figures, how is he reading the Gemara? And even if I'm not fully satisfied with the Lecha Mishnah's approach, he's clearly doing something. But now, the Ursanef was interested in the historical question, which is if you had someone who was an apostate, someone who had shmadet, and he was obligated to give his wife a get, how can you force him to give her a get? Assuming you physically can force him, assuming the Gentile authorities will allow it, how can you force him if, after all, he, in the Rambam's language, he's not rooted in Leos Miusaf. He doesn't want to be Jewish. He's made that very clear, that he doesn't want to be Jewish because he has apostatized. He's now a Christian. He's now a Muslim. I don't think I said this with you. I think I was talking to you about the Muslim question. He talks about a mukhlaf l'das Yisrael, which I find to be a little bit odd. Not because there is no such thing, but because that would not have been the question the Ursanech was dealing with. I'm fairly confident that the following statement. The Ursanech, in living in Dvinsk, in Poland, did not experience in his town any Jew who converted to Islam. And who had to be forced to give his wife a get. That I will link to that on. And I wonder whether or not this is code for Christianity that he doesn't want to say it. If I...
walking around censorship
bracelets, and... So that's a very standard thing, yes. In other words, you'll find that in our Tosfosim. The Gemara, in a lot of our Tosfos, I don't think it's in the text of the Gemara itself, when it says Hefker based in Hefker, it says afterwards Beis Zion Hei Beis, which means Bisman Abayis. Because you don't want the Gentile censors to think, oh, these Jews think they can just declare our money Hefker. Right? That's not good optics, which of course is not what Tosfos is doing, but it doesn't matter because the censors had enough material which was difficult to deal with, but they figured don't give them anything else.
Later he also discusses people becoming Haidinists, which I don't think was an issue anyway.
What was that phrase? I don't know, was it Haidin or something?
I assume he meant like a Greek Haidinist.
I can't, well, he doesn't know that term. I was wondering what that was, whether he slipped there and whether that was some type of Christian denomination. It's not that, where it is. Haray de mochel for das ha-haydin, I have no idea what that is. I thought it might be a typo, but I had no idea. I didn't have a chance to look in the original printed paper to see what's printed there, but I had no idea. Right? All of a sudden, he does switch something. So I do kind of wonder whether he really means Christianity, but he doesn't want to say it for censor's reasons, because nobody would ever be forcing a Jew who apostatized to Christian. No Jews would ever be forcing a Jew who converted to Christianity to do anything. I don't know. But the theoretical question remains. I just can't believe that he was actually dealing with... I mean, again, this is not a tshuva halacha l'maisa. He's dealing with a larger issue, but why is he dealing with an issue in a way that clearly never existed for him? Yes?
Is he bringing up Islam just because it's problematic?
I'm sorry? Yeah, because you think that any Christians, any potential Christians, or maskilin, it might not have. I've always wondered whether there are some ever self-censors. There are other contexts in which I've seen it, and I've wondered whether he's self-censoring. And I'm wondering, like, look, I get it that Goyim might be reading the Talmud, but Goyim are reading the Or Sameach on the Rambam. I mean, really? I mean, such a good Goyim, you know that. To encourage them to convert. So my assumption is that the greater danger is maskilin, who would then be Malshin, not actually Goyim who would read it on their own, but that the concern is the same. So I kind of wondered about that. And so it wouldn't be providing Maskilim who wanted to run to the Russian or Polish government to say, oh, look what he's writing. If he's talking about someone converting to Islam, they don't, you know, that they don't like, I mean, they don't have much to do with Muslims, but they don't like Muslims.
What I mean is that Islam should be
a Chiddush. No. If anything, Islam is less of a chiddush that it works in the end, because someone who converts to become Muslim is an apikores, is a kofar, but he's not over the bazaar. Right. So the adra.
That means the same that still it doesn't work.
You're right. Like from the maskana, it would be a bigger chiddush if it really mattered. It would be a bigger chiddush to say that it works even by over the bazaar, even by a Christian, let's say. So I don't think that's what's, I don't think it's the halachic the weight of a Muslim versus another religion, that's actually what's pushing. But the question basically is, how do you force, how is it halakhically permissible, or better said, halakhically efficacious, to force a goy to do what? To be megarish his wife when he is mechuyev to do so, if in fact the only grounds in which kriya works is that it is ritzono, it's mitzvah l'shmoa divrei chachamim. So at the end of the day, since he's mechuyev legarish, and the chachamim threaten to beat him up anyway, or the goyish basin threatens to beat him up when he's mechuyev legarish. So the Rambam, so how could it be good if the only basis that it works on is that mitzvah shodir chacham, that he really he's not honest. He's not honest because he wants to do the right thing, but his Yetzirah has gotten in the way. So his Yetzirah is being ma'anes him to not do it, and we're just getting Yetzirah out of the way. He does what he actually wants to do. So that was the Orson asked question. I'm actually going to do something I don't like to do, but because this is such a complicated Orson asked, I don't know if we'll read the whole thing. I wanted to sort of just share, sort of outline what he goes through. This Orson Eich is hard enough. He does not write as clearly as some other Achronim might write. I mean that in terms of his language, the way he formulates things. It's not a Reb Chaim type. You know, you can like Reb Chaim or not like Reb Chaim, the methodology, but Reb Chaim writes crisply and clearly, I think. Whereas here, it's a different style. It's a different style. So anyway, the Orson Eich first begins with the question of forcing a mukhlaf who's not to be Megarish's wife. So first there's a question in general. What are grounds for divorce? So we said we will talk about this more, God willing, next week. What are grounds for divorce? When can you force a husband to divorce his wife?
Shouldn't he? He's not supporting her.
Okay, well, you could start with the Mishnah in Ayin Zayin in Ksuvos, which says, Eilu Shekofan Otzi, and then you have scattered here and other grounds of fear. Here's a question for you. A woman's husband, this happens very rarely, it usually happens after the fact. I've only encountered two cases, and so I'm sure there are more in the full community. When men intermarry, typically speaking, they don't apostatize. In other words, unfortunately, a lot of Jewish men marry non-Jewish women, but they're intermarried. But I've encountered a couple of cases, a couple of Mosmachim, a Bar Yeshiva actually, that I am aware of, whose fathers are Mishmachim. Like I encountered, you know, in the last 5 to 10 years I've encountered this twice, and it's like, I never knew such a thing existed. It does. I mean, why should I be surprised? So let's say, I'm sure that the father gave a get, and the marriage broken up, and that he Shmachted because he married some from Christian woman who insisted that as part of the terms of it happens in our community all the time, right? That in order to marry someone, well, the deal is they have to convert to Judaism. So there, her deal was that he had to convert to Christianity. Let's say he hadn't given his wife a get yet. So, and he converts to Christianity. Let's say he's happily married to her. Well, I'm happily married to you, but I'm going to church on Sunday. Is that grounds for Kriya? You know what? You're going to answer the question. There's only one answer to that question. Yeah?
Probably not.
It's the wrong answer to the question.
No, machlokas.
Of course. It's a machlokas. Torah has two deos. Whether or not being mishumot itself constitutes grounds of kriya. Now, obviously, if he goes and he lives with another woman, it's not living his wife. He's not providing her with ona. And he's not providing her with mizonos, presumably, and so on. So he might be mechuyev legarish anyway, but not because he's a mishumot. So let's put that out. Let's assume for the moment, even though at the end, did you get to the end of that or something? So the end, he thinks it might even be possible that you could be kofim even when he's not mechuyev legarish. But in the meantime, let's assume you have a mishumot who is mechuyev legarish. If he were Jewish, he would still be mechuyev legarish. And so the Orsanah says, how are you going to be kofim in the divorce if he is not willing to, if he is not rotza leos mechal yisrael? You could ask another question, which is obviously wrong, but I think we've touched upon this. He quotes, in that last paragraph, he quotes the idea that according to the Mordechai, a man is a mishumad, is a isegive alayos, with his wife, which seems a little odd. Is that odd?
Yeah.
It's very odd. You know what's also odd? I'm convinced there's a conceptual analog in this. If you have a mule, maybe, I don't know if it applies there. Supposing you had, a mule. You have a sharp suleha muqdashim that was sanctified when it was tamim. It got a mum, and now you're podet. But when you have a shor, the Mishnayos have this, I think, in a Bechoros and in, I want to say Zvachim, and one of the other Mesechus. When you have a shor which was tamim when it was dedicated to Hekdesh, it now has Kedusha Saguf on this Bayach, and even when it gets a mum, it still retains the Kedusha. And so when you're podet, while you can eat it and do what you want with it, you're not allowed, your only heter is shchita. You can shecht it and eat it. You can't, if it's an avela, you can't feed it to your dogs. If it is, you can't shear it, you can't milk it, you can't do avoda with it, lo sabot b'chor shalecha. So I think the Gemara says that if you're choresh with a sharp suleh hamukdashim, the reflection is that you're chayev, aside from lo saharot, lo sabot b'chor shalecha, you also violate lo saharosh b'shor v'chamor yachdav, because it's two minim. It's Hekdesh and Kulin together at the same time. I don't think I'm making that up. And thus, I was going to say that I don't think it's true. Let's say you have a pirda. A pirda is a cross between a horse and a donkey. I don't think we say it's asur to do avoda with a pirda. You could have said there, first I think there are two meanings today. I thought it's mintar and mintane, I don't remember the details. But anyway, so I think they say yichai mishum lo sacharosh b'shara chanarta, which means you can have one physical entity with multiple statuses, as if it's two separate beings. That's a remarkable conceptual. So to claim that this goy is also, that it's considered gizei arayos, it's like a violation of esh ish, well, what do you mean? It's his wife. He's not another person. The answer is the person can have two different identities, and he can be like two different gavras, and it could be, in his words, the sheep of the Mordechai is, have a gizei arayos kemo im oved avodah zarah. So who us is he asura libolo of the mochlach? Okay, I don't know if that's really a dinner, right? I don't know, but maybe. Fine. You mean is that tied to the shita? Because that we certainly don't hold midina. Is that a meshumad who does tshuva is supposed to go to the mecca? It would kind of make sense. I don't know if they're quoted, you know, in one breath. All right. So anyway, so our question, let's assume we're dealing with a mukhlaf, with a mishumad. It's also an interesting term. It uses the term mukhlaf. I wonder if mishumad was it is kind of a pejorative term today. When you talk about, the person I remember hearing his name, it won't mean anything to you. It might mean something to you, Casper Weinberger. And Casper Weinberger, I mean, he's here? No, you're way, way too young. He was, I think, the Secretary of State of George Bush the First. He was a hard-bitten anti-Semite. I think he was the one who got caught on tape or something with an expletive, something the Jews, they didn't vote for us anyway. Which, by the way, you learned that. Once upon a time, Jews didn't vote for Republicans, even Orthodox Jews. It only shifted around the time you guys were born. It's all your fault. So I remember my term. He's a Meshuvah. He was born Casper Weinberger. He wasn't the friendly ghost. So he was a Meshuvah. So Meshuvah is not a nice term, even though it's not even clear what the term originates from. It might be, we tend to think it means like he's destroyed because he's converted out. But in some of the early texts, it looks like it's Meshu Ahmad with an ayin, which makes it look like a passive causal. He was split up maybe in a baptismal font. So anyway, be that as it may, it's a mochlaf. So now, the Or Sameach says the following. He has two questions that bother him in terms of our sugyas. Number one, the sugya and kiddushin. Remember, let's just review the sugya and kiddushin for a second. The Gemara says, you sell your house because you're making aliyah, but you don't say anything, and it turns out you can't make aliyah. You cannot nullify the sale because Dvarim Shivalev Enam Dvarim. You didn't say anything. You didn't say, I'm selling to you because I'm making aliyah, which would imply if I'm not making aliyah, then I don't want the sale of Nisa. So the Gemara now wants to prove this, and it tries to prove it from the case of forcing a person to bring a carbon or forcing a person to give a get. Actually, remember what I'm saying? Now, the Havamina of the Gemara is what? The Havamina of the Gemara is we all know what he's thinking inside. He says Rotsani, but he doesn't really mean it. So that's what the Gemara tried to bring as a Rai, and it was Docha. So the Or Sameach says, I don't understand. That's not Dvar Shibalev. What is he thinking when he gives the get or brings the carbon? Agaf Unse, Gamar, Umagarish, Kamar, Makrit. What is Rav Huna? How does that Gemara work with Rav Huna? Rav Huna said that Agav Unse, because when you're forced to do something and you're threatened with physical force and you're afraid of being hurt, you do what you're told to do willingly so you won't be hurt. So why does the Gemara think that's Dvarim Shabbalei, Enam Dvarim? That is unambiguously not Dvarim Shabbalei. We know what he's thinking in his heart. He's thinking in his heart, yes, I want to do it because I don't like suffering. That was question number one. These are the two questions, by the way, that really set up his entire thing. The second question he asks is, why is it that by carbon and by geth, we say that there's a need to say rotsani? But when a guy walks up to you and says, sell me your field or I'm going to kill you, and you don't say rotsani, you just take the money, why does Rav Huna say that Agav Unse Gamar Makri, why is it valid? Hayol Vizavim, Zabine Zvine, if he doesn't say anything. Now, it happens to be the Gemara Baba Tam, as he points out, Tashlamach Beis, says that the difference between Chamsun and Hayol Vizavim, between a thug and a thug, two different kinds of thugs, but one is called a Chamsun, is that by a Chamsun you don't say Rotsani. He gives you, a Gazlan takes your field, doesn't give you money. A Chamsun takes your field, gives you money. A Toleh, I don't know what we can call it, a Toleh, gives you the money, takes your field, but you say Rotsani. That's what makes it Tliya, not Chamas. So that's very nice, but the Shulchan Aruch and the Rambam don't quote that. They don't, for whatever reason, they don't quote the Gemara, they assume we don't accept that Gemara, we assume that even if you don't say Rotsani, so the question is why? Why is there a chilek between Rav Huna's case of Chayu Avazavin when I buy your field versus the case of get and carbine when the base then forces you to be Megarish and bring a carbon? And I formulated that question to give you the answer, which was why the base then forces you to give a carbon or give a get. That's going to be crucial to his answer. But those are the two questions. Again, why does the Gemara in Kiddushin assume that it's Dvarim Shabbalev? It's about that not Dvarim Shabbalev. It's about that he wants to be Adav Unse Gamar Megarish. And number two, why Megarish and Karban do you need Rotsani? But when it comes to how you have a Zadim, when you force him to sell the field, you don't need, the seller doesn't need to say Rotsani. So the Or Sameach lays down the following principle. He says that Ones works, that Adam Unse Gamar Matne works because the seller, or the Nenas, understands, say the Nenas, the one who's being forced to do whatever he's being forced to do, understands that if he doesn't do what he's being forced to do, if he doesn't agree, that person will eventually put him to death. That, meaning, there's no end to his suffering. Let me put that way. Death would be an end to his suffering. Which is worse, death or torture? How do you know that? Where's the Gemara? I don't know if it's there or not. It's in Ksubas Daf Lamed Aleph. The Gemara says, "Elmole nagdua lachananya mishar bazaria habatochem otzama." Instead of throwing them into the Kirshana Eish, Nebuchadnezzar decided to torture them. They would have submitted to the torture and worshipped or bowed, whatever it was. They literally worshipped the Talmud. There is a Shita Mekubetes who quotes Hodea from the Balei Tosfos, who says that even though you have to give up your life rather than violate the Gemara Averis, that's only if they're going to kill you. If they're going to torture you, unless you don't have to. I don't think we accept that, but nonetheless. So, Imalei Nadu Alachanani Mishal Bazar, you have a Pachal Talmud. So this guy can torture you endlessly. He's just going to keep beating you. He's not going to stop, even if endlessly. Even if he knows that you're never going to say yes, he'll beat you until he decides he's had enough of beating you. In such a case, Narasimha says, Agav would say, Gamar Machmeh. Because you know that no matter what you do, short of actually agreeing to do it, he is not going to stop. However, when it comes to a beis din forcing you, so Onshin beis din work like this. If you eat chazir nisim, you get 40 lashes minus one. If you violated Isser Aseh, what would an Isser Aseh be? I don't know. You eat from the Karban Pesach when it is completely raw. Not partially raw, but completely raw. Not na, but it's not na. It's not Mabusha B'mayim, but it's not Sliyesh. Kiyim Sliyesh. I think that would be an Isser Aseh. So in such a case, you don't get Malkus for it. You're a bad boy. You should have done it. We're done. But what happens if you won't pick up a lulav at Arba Minim, or listen to Shofar, or even Mikra Megillah, or any mitzvah to Pelag Darabanim? What do? Well, Jonathan, they pull out their whip and say, Jonathan, please, pick up the Arba Minim, make a bracha, and mind the Shem Yichud Kutcha Rechu. And you say no. Whack. Now, what Beis Din knows that they can whack you all day, Shkia's going to come and the mitzvah's going to pass and you're not going to do it. So what then? So the Ar Sameach says if the Beis Din knows that you're not going to submit, they're not allowed to hit you. They're only allowed to hit you for the purposes of having you fulfill the mitzvah. If they know that you will never pick it up or you will never pick it up, l'shem yichud kutcha brichu, then Beis Din is not allowed to lay a finger on you. So in the end, Jonathan, what is causing you to suffer these blows? Ironically, what causes you to suffer these blows? Beis Din doesn't know, of course, at the outset. They say, if Beis Din were to know. So what is causing Beis Din, Shimon?
The fact that you're eventually going to be able to do it.
Your agreement to do it, eventually, is why Beis Din is allowed to hit you. You're causing your own problems. So you know what you might think? You might be thinking in your heart, oh, Beis Din, I will never agree, no matter what you do to me. Okay. Now, but obviously Beis Din doesn't know that. So if Beis Din, I will never agree to do it. I might physically do it, but I will never agree. I will never be Gomer Umadarish, Gomer Inotalas Adua. So, what happens if Beis Din forces you, and forces you, and forces you, and forces you, and finally you give the get? Why did you physically give the get? Did you give it because you were Gomer Umadarish? Or you just gave it to get because they'll stop doing it, not because you intend to be Megarish. You don't do it, you just go through the motions. Well, how do we know which one you intend? The answer is we don't. We don't know. But what should we think? What are you thinking? Well, Jonathan, what did you say before we started beating you?
I'm not going to do it.
No, that's what you said. No. So now you do it. So, who's to say? Why would I assume that you actually, you know, it's a suffix. Did you really show? We have no idea. You said no previously. Now you physically pick up the loaf, or you say, write the get. But you never said, I want to write the get. You never said, vote on me. So at that point, it's really a suffix. What happens if you say, vote on me? Well, they'll stop doing it. But what should the din be? In other words, they're now going to remote on me. Did you really mean it? Well, this is a crucial point in Dvarim Shebelev. Up until this point, it wasn't a Dvarim Shebelev issue. It was a genuine suffix, because initially you weren't going to give it. You did an action that is contrary to that. We don't know what you're really thinking. But once you say remote on me, it's possible that in your heart, you're not remote on me. Guess what? When you say one thing to care, and we're thinking that maybe you don't mean it, what do we call that? What do we call that? Right? Dvarim Shebelev, and another. So what the Ur Sameach says is the following. So your problem with the Gemara and Kiddushin was that why did the Gemara think that this was Dvarim Shebelev? It's not Dvarim Shebelev that he doesn't want to be Megarish. It's not what Spilibo says, the Ur Sameach. Spilibo is the son of Megarish, because Agav Unsa Gemara Machmeh. So the Arsenet says no. And why do you need Rotsani? Well, the answer is the following. Because if you say nothing, If you don't say rotzani, then it's a suffix whether you're megarish beratzon. If you say rotzani, well, you are megarish beratzon according to what you say. But the element of suffix is in your heart that maybe you really didn't want to do it. Now, why don't you say agav unse gamar amatne? That's vadai. It's not dvar mishibaleg. It's not a suffix at all. Vadai is gamar megarish. Well, the answer is because you're dealing with basin here. And it's possible that when you're dealing with faith, then this guy says in his heart, I am never going to be Magarish, no matter what. I'll never do a Baratzon. Faith doesn't know that, so they do keep beating him eventually after they write the piece of paper. So if when he says, if he doesn't say anything, it's a bona fide Safek. If he says Rotsa'ani, there's still an element of Safek, except for the Parashat Shabbalim, because he said one thing in the past, Rotsa'ani, and now you're saying that maybe there are two possibilities. What, in other words, what really happened in his heart is one of two possibilities. Either he actually was agav unse gamar igarish, or agav unse, he told him to write to get, but he was never in a stock because he refused to do so. So when he said the pet rotzani, that overrides the Rosh Hashanah. But that's why you need rotzani. Because if you don't have rotzani, it's no longer the Rosh Hashanah, it's mamash suffering. So then why does Rav Huna say that tayuah v'zavah zavine zavine? After all, if there's a suffix whether or not he agreed to Ratzon, he agreed to transfer his field to the other person, what should the din be? That the original possessor, by land we don't say possession is 9/10 of the law. By land, what is considered 9/10 of the law? Cheskas Marakama. Whoever is the last indefinite known owner of the land is the one who has that chazaka on it. So when the guy puts a gun to his head, or the Jew for that matter, it doesn't matter who the honest is, puts a gun to his head and says, sell me your land, the Marakama is the guy who's selling the land. So you're going to tell me, but Bolivo was the suffix. And he let that, if he said Rotsani, as opposed to just taking the money or having the money plopped in his hand, and the guy took the field, so if he said Rotsani, I understand, there's no suffix. It might be something what he's thinking in his heart, but he said Rotsani to Ram Shabbalay. But if he doesn't say Rotsani, why it's no longer Ram Shabbalay? It should be a bona fide suffix, and the land shouldn't transfer. C.R. Smith says no, because Basin's not foreseeing. Who's foreseeing? The Anas. You know what the Anas is going to do if he knows the guy will never consent and take the money? He'll still beat him to a bloody pulp. He's going to hate him. It's like, you know, I'm bullying him, and he's not being bullied, so I'm going to bully him more. The only way you stop a bully is you punch him in the nose. But, assume he's not carrying a gun or something like that. But, the bottom line is that the Rosh Hashanah says that the key difference between Tayyuh HaBezabin and Kofar on Karban and Aget is that Tayyuh HaBezabin is an Anos. The Anos has no limits to the foreseeable use. And the Nenas knows that. He knows that unless he consents, he knows it. What would happen, and what does the Nenas think would happen if the Anas were to discover that he wasn't actually going to ever give his consent? What would happen then? What does the Nenas think would happen? He's just going to keep beating him. He's not going to beat him to force him to be this Ratzah. He's going to beat him because he hates him. And there's no limits to how close he might be. But a basin is not going to do that. And the Nenas knows that the basin won't do that. He may not have a means by which to convince the basin that he's never going to be a Nisratza, but he knows that if he refuses to be a Nisratza, the basin will stop. He knows the basin will stop. Another way of looking at that is that once he agrees to give the get to the basin, even if he doesn't say Rotsani, he knows Mimanavshach, the basin will stop bothering him, because the basin will say one of two things. Either he's agreed to give the get, or he'll never agree to give the get. That's why Rotsani is crucial. Rotsani turns the suffix of what he's really thinking, whether he's truly misrata or just doing, going through the motions. Rotsani turns that into Dvarim Shabbalev and Dvarim Shabbalev. That was the Gemara I was thinking there. In Tayyur Bezafin, when the Anas is doing it, you don't need Rotsani to eliminate that possibility, because there's no suffix in Dvarim Shabbalev. Because since it's an Anas, he's Vaday Agav Unse Gamar, Gamar Viyahid, etc. Of course, that subsequently is going to lead the Or Sameach to have an obvious problem, which is what? You don't have to see him ask this question. What's the question that obviously emerges with? Friday?
I actually,
what?
I
well, it does work according to the Rambam Lapidim. What? No, Midaraisa. It works. Oh, you mean Megarish Shalokidim? Yes.
Mm.
Right, that's the problem. The problem is, ironically, it means that a Beis Din might only be able, well, I mean, I don't know about an Anas, if the whole point is the Anas will beat you with a bloody pope because he feels like it, so it shouldn't matter whether or not it's Tidim and Shalokidim. In fact, it would provide a ready-made solution with the Raisa for a woman who wants a gift from her husband. You know what she could do? You don't have to hire a thug. You could hire a Jew who's a thug and say, beat my husband until he gives him a gift. You know, ironically, it makes you remember the case in Muncie of the guy using a cattle prod. So we don't approve of such tactics because it violates Dura Malbusa. But we especially don't approve of such tactics when the person is corrupt. Like, if only people he was forcing to be Megarish were actually people who were Mechuy of Megarish, not because his basement was receiving money or anything like that, I would have been infinitely more sympathetic to the cause. If he did it for Chinam and was just the goon squad for Misarvin,
a non-profit
goon squad, I can't give my approbation to it because I can't approve of people breaking the law. But I'm certainly much more sympathetic to it. Let's put it that way. It's a noble cause, just in this case, because of Chinam. You know, we can't really say the means justify at the ends justify the means. But in my heart, in depth, deep in my heart, there's a part of me that feels that way. So, but it should be, I would argue, and there's a problem. If it was taking money for this, then the getting that he forced with a cattle prod should be puzzled, right? Because it's a look at it. But ironically, you could say the money shot. He's acting properly, he's acting like a basin, and therefore the guy's Mechoy Megarish. And if he's not, then he's just a Jewish thug. And if a Jewish thug is doing that to you, he's going to keep using that cattle prod that you give him the thing. And if he figures out that you weren't misrats or the rutsum to do so, he's going to use that cattle prod continuously. So therefore, I don't want to say the I'm having a little fun with that. But anyway, this question is, if a goy shalom kipin should work. So what does he force the connection to say? What does he say? I don't know if you picked up on this. Again, I don't know if you picked up on everything that I'm saying now. It took me a few times through to get, you know, really slowly, and I had to write out all his arguments. So I don't usually write notes. I'm not even fully following them. I wrote the notes so it would be clear in my head, so now I can present it to you. So what is, you know what the answer is to that question? Why is it that a goy shelo kedin is so good? Ironically, a goy shelo kedin should have better ideas than a basin. Right?
Yeah. Because otherwise it's as...
Then it's talyu abiyahid, not talyu abisabin. And talyu abiyahid, we don't say words. I have only one problem with that. Well, he started to have his discussion referencing the Sikrito, but he's ignoring an earlier stage in Sikrito. I mentioned this to you. Right? In the earliest stage, let me get this. I gotta stop pretending and actually quote it to you. Hold on. Let's get my get in here. The Mishnah I mentioned, I don't expect you to see the mark today, but if you brought it, it's there. The Mishnah is on Nun Hei Beis, I think. Nun Hei Amud Beis, right before Kamsa Bar Kamsa. So the Gemara says, whatever the Mishnah says, the Gemara's got a problem with how to read the Mishnah. It says, Lo Heri Sikrikon Bi Yehuda Baruch Yei Mochama. So the Gemara says, what it means there was no sikrikon is that there was no dinner sikrikon. The dinner sikrikon is the sikrikon is not konen. But Baruge Milchama there was no dinner sikrikon, as Ravasi explains, Gimel Zeris Gazu, Zerita Kamaisa was Kodalo Kato Mitkaluhu. Anyone who doesn't kill the Jew will be killed. And therefore, your presumption as a Jew was that the Goy was going to kill you. So anything that you did that you let him take to buy your life was a theft of sale. Rashi writes, the first Rashi in the Gemara, Lo Danu Bisakriko Baruch Mahama, Dikane Legamri, Halokeach Mimenu Mechel Kayu. In other words, in Harugei Nohama, there was no din of Sikriton. The din of Sikriton is that you have to pay off a certain amount of it, you know, because the Sikriton's taking it is not a valid taking. That not valid, that it's not legally voided. But Harugei Nohama, when the Sikriton took it for you and spared your life, that field belonged to him. It wasn't mutter to do, but it belonged to him. Why? It's exactly the point that Ur Sameach is making here. He doesn't invoke this point. But that when there's a situation where genuinely the person is going to kill you if you don't give them the field, you decide, you know what? I'm happy to give them the field. So, by definition, in other words, in effect, Harugei Melchama, a Sikriton was not Tayuah V'yahir, it was considered Tayuah V'zabit, who was Gama Machnet. So a goy shalom kibin, it's a whole logic of the reason why it works by tayor bezabim, by even by a goy, is that the goy will not stop because he's not bound by morality like the beis din is. The beis din won't beat you if they know you're not going to do it. The goy will beat you. In fact, after you do it, he might give you one good patch just for the heck of it because he's annoyed at you. So, but that means that when you have a situation where they will plausibly do anything to you and everything to you, Tayuah v'zabin is beyond, is not a relevant category. So it doesn't really solve the problem. It doesn't really solve the problem. You hear the kasha? Fine. Yes, no? I think it seems to me the question is somewhat obvious. Okay. So that, in a nutshell, not a nutshell, a long nutshell, is what the Ur Sameach says. That's how he wants to explain why. I gotta close the loop. So what happens when a beis din is dealing with a mukhlaf? What happens when a beis din is dealing with a mukhlaf who refuses to give a get? So it's true he's not wrote to Leos Mechlal Yisrael. I have to finish up the Sukhidushin. So he makes a claim, an interesting claim, that the Maskan, and so what was the Sugyan Kiddushin started as follows. The Sugyan Kiddushin thought that Kofan Oso, Achayom Arosha, and Ibaget, the Gemara was trying to use that to prove that Dvarim Shibaleh Enam Dvarim. So our question, Nirzameth's question was, why is that Dvarim Shibaleh that he doesn't want to give the get? He Ibaget does want to give the get, because Rav Huna, Adav Unse Gamar Medarish. The answer is, because when you're dealing with the beis din, it's not true aga, it's not called unsa anymore. It's not aga unsa gomagarish, because he may know, he might, we don't have to play this argument out, but it's possible in his heart he's thinking, I refuse to do this, I'm not doing this beginning response. Because I know if the beis din figures it out, they'll leave me alone. So the question, so therefore, by a beis din, it's not pashut that it's aga unsa gomagarish, because maybe the libo, he's refusing to do it. Because the beis din will stop beating him then. He's willing to stubbornly say in his heart, no, I won't do it. Because he knows if the beis din figures that out, they'll stop beating him. So that's why it actually is the Dvarim Shebaleh, which is why it's crucially say Rotsani. Once he says Rotsani, he says Rotsani, but we think in his heart it might be Mesupa, Dvarim Shebaleh in a Dvarim. What is the Gemara's Dechia? The Gemara's Dechia is no. Who says that this Dvarim Shebaleh there? Maybe because Mitzvah Lishmoa, Devei Chachamim, there's no suffix anymore. In other words, he's this Ratzah Beratzah, not because of the onus, but because of the Shema Debechachamim. It's the Shema Debechachamim. So once, and he thinks that's Omei L'maskana, that in the end, the Gemara needs that in order to make it tell you of his Adam. Right? You need the mitzvah element, the Mechuyah Begarish, in order that it's tell you of his Adam. So now, your problem is, with Vaya Muchlav, since he's not wrote the Lishma Devarei Chachamim, where is that element that makes it into tell you? Where's the element? Where can we say at this point? Hold on. Yes. So why can we say that this is a case of, well, that's really a problem, but Kal Yuha, I guess that's the formula, but this is a way that I understand it. But why can we say, when he says "Rotsani" by the Meshulam, what does that mean? He said, if the Maskana doesn't work, it's a problem. If the Maskana you need mitzvah Meshulam deRechachamim to make it Hayur Zavin, so he says, how does that help you by a Mochlaf? How does that help you by the Meshulam? So his answer is that when the Beis Din forces a Mochlaf, it doesn't. It's not working mitzad. Beis Din is kofen ala mitzvos. Because what should Beis Din really do to the mochlaf? What is Beis Din allowed to do to the mochlaf? Shouldn't it?
Kill him.
Because moritin v'lo malach is not habayis. Moritin v'lo malach. So Beis Din may not need any excuse, but certainly if this mochlaf is refusing to do the basically decent thing, Beis Din may just decide, well, we'll beat him to death because moritin v'lo malach. So says the Or Sameach, this now reverts to the case. This reverts to the case of Anas. Agav Unse Gamar Makbe, because he, unlike a regular case of a basically kosher yid in Basin, except for he's a Messiah Bagarish or Messiah Bil Mitzvah, where he knows the Basin will not beat him if ultimately he won't fulfill it. This guy, this Mochlaf, knows the Basin might kill him if he doesn't do it. And therefore, Agav Unse Gamar Magarish. Now, for some reason, you still need. So this is the point. Mitzvah l'shmol dechachachamim is not what turns it into taluah v'zabin. What taluah v'yayin is still a problem, my illness, right? Rav Huna l'maschana sagemara only says taluah v'zabin, not taluah v'yayin. So if it's not, if there's no mitzvah l'shmol dechachamim, why is this taluah v'zabin, not taluah v'yayin? Why is it good? I don't know if he spells it out or not, but what's the answer? Shall we?
So you already can't do
what's
it called? He loved her, and therefore
I
can't fulfill that obligation. And so she has
no. No, because he doesn't say that yet.
Oh, okay.
He says that on the Shabbat Kibbutz, but the answer is Kibbutz. Which we ask the question: why is forcing? Moses already asked the question: why is forcing somebody to be Megarish considered Talu of Zaben? Should be Talu of Yai. So we show him twice with the idea of Shesfauna. But ultimately, the real answer, Tosa says, is someone who's mechuyav of the garish is because you don't. It's not that taluya v'yahid is no good because you receive no compensation. It's because you're entitled to compensation and you're not receiving it. But if someone is mechuyav of the garish, there's no hefsed there. It's taluya v'zaben by definition. Taluya v'zaben means that you are not, in a sense, wronged here. Someone gave you the money. This is the cost of the field. So you agreed to sell the field. The net outcome is not a loss to you. Taluya v'girish, kofen l'garish, if he's mechuyav l'garish, it's not a net loss because he's mechuyav l'garish. He's not entitled to the marriage of this one. Daniel?
I'm a little confused how we got to Mitzvah Shmei Rech Chaim. It seems like for a while it was okay just to say first what he's going to
do. Yeah.
Is this transition to get out of the
marriage? When he does it originally, I don't know why he does it. I have a note to myself. I think he does it for later purposes. I think the reason why he introduces says the Maskan is Mitzvah Chacham because he has to justify why the Rambam quotes it. Because if you were to read both sugyos, if you read the sugya in Kiddushin for sure, Mitzvah Shmei Rech Chaim was just a free have on it. You could argue in Baba Basra once you get to that, oh no, it's Talyu of Zabin, right? In other words, he's receiving money, he's getting something, then maybe you need the Mitzvah Shmei Rech Chaim. But I think that the reason why he's insisting that we accept Mitzvah Shmei Rech Chaim according to Maskana, he doesn't say why. If you're looking at your thing, hold on, where does he say this? Which paragraph are you in? You tampered with me. Hold on 1 second. Yeah, well, this is right. This is, hold on. Okay, so there. Right, I see. Hold on 1 second. says, Lachim Mishani Mishum, the mitzvah of Shvada Bechachamim. What does he say? He says, oh, the Chozet, on my original point, that it's four lines at the bottom. So, Afal Gab, Fizeh Kena MS, Afal Gab de Pashtua, the Dvarim Shabbalay Nenon Dvarim, the Chozet Tzarech Letayma de Mitzvah de Shmoa de Bechachamim. The Shani Tama, the Haft, and he gives a reason why. And the reason why you need it is because by, is that there's still an element of maybe he really meant to say it, but he couldn't because of the rest. As opposed to the guy who's Zabin Mifte Daita Dar Yisrael, where he could have said it. Now, I don't know why, where he's coming on to this from, other than wanting to justify the Rambam quoting it. But he's arguing that you still could tie it, that it's a problem, that it's not Dvarim Shebaleh, because it's under the rest that he doesn't say, I'm objecting. And where the Gemara was trying to prove that Dvarim Shebaleh and Dvarim was by the guy who sold his house to go make Aliyah. But there, he had every opportunity. There's nothing that was inhibiting him from saying, because I'm making Aliyah. But that doesn't, I don't know how he sees that in the Sugya. The Gemara doesn't make that chiluk. I have no idea why he does that, other than perhaps to justify for the Rambam what
the motion has ever made.
Yes, but it's a very strange way of reading that Gemara. It doesn't sound like it from the Gemara. And it doesn't sound like from everything he's constructed until now. Right? From until now, he kept insisting that the reason why you needed Rotsan, you need Rotsan, you might get, but not by Tanya Mazabit, is precisely to do away with any of the suffix of the Dvarim, to make a Dvarim Shibalei. That your pest says Rotsani, and we're not sure what's in your lake. That's Dvarim Shibalei. Before you uttered it Rotsani, so then the previous thing you said is no, now you do it, but we're not sure what's in your heart, that's not Dvarim Shibalei. So I don't know, he has explained that transition.
And the Maskana is that you do need to do this?
So I think he would, you can't say that by Mishumah, that's the catch. You have, in order to make it into Tayua Bezabin, you need, maybe it's, he says you need Kedin, maybe that's what he said. Hold on. Yeah, okay, so I mixed two things together. Later in the second to last paragraph, he said the reason why, yes, when he talks about why when a guy does it shalob it in, why is it not good? His answer is because that's how you are the eye. In other words, what makes the get good for, again, what he says, what makes the good get under any circumstances, midaraisa guy or true, is the fact that you mechayev lagarish. So you know that's called how you are the. Once it's shalob it in, it's how you are the eye.
And then why do you consider Shalom Bechachamim if you're the very fact that the Chayav, the divorcer, needs to get the Jewel to the Zab? That's what I understand.
Because it still would have been Dvarim Shebaleh. Because it's a Beis Din, so if he doesn't say, good question.
Right, you said that before.
Good question. Yeah, so it goes back to it's what I said a moment ago, which I don't fully understand, but because it doesn't flow with the Gemara, which is that since you couldn't have said, you know, Dvarim Shebaleh V'Einam Dvarim is when you say one thing, and it's possible you don't really mean it, but we're not sure, so that's Dvarim Shebaleh. But when there's a reason why you couldn't have said it, namely, Beis Din will beat you, so maybe there we can't use the principle of Dvarim Shebaleh, and so we have to explain that we don't even, that's less than Dvarim Shebaleh. There's no suffix, because presumably he wants to be Shebaleh and Dvarim Shebaleh. It's very difficult to read that into the Sugya, there's no question about that. He's doing it only because the Rambam, that's what I think he's suggesting, how the Rambam reads the Sugya, that Lamaskana you need mitzvah of Shebaleh and Dvarim Shebaleh. Again, it's very difficult, it doesn't sound like it from the Gemara. Okay, so now, a final question.
Didn't
he sort of jump in the Shabbat?
I mean,
he's finished Shabbat up until
we stopped
talking
about
it,
and then he jumps
to the
and then
recompiles everything. I guess, but that doesn't, why? Why do you go back and revisit
the Shabbat? Nothing. We come to a new understanding of Dharma Shalai by the end of the Sugya, totally on what you could or could not have done, and that is an open done. So then you don't go back and discuss it, because again, it's still relevant to discuss how that fits in.
But why did he come up with that in the first place? The Gemara doesn't imply that. The Gemara was never dofa by saying, wanted to bring a raya from Kfiyah Laget. That Dvarim Shebaleh V'Einam Dvarim. So you might want to say, well, that's a super raya. You know why it's a super raya? Because it's a case of Dvarim Shebaleh where he couldn't utter them if he wanted to and still be ignored them. Kal v'chomer to the case of Zabin Eretz Yisrael. So then when the Gemara ultimately concludes Dharam Shalvei Lavram, you can say yes, but if I get that's not true. If I get, you need mitzvah l'shmada chacham, because if weren't the mitzvah l'shmada chacham, those Dharam Shalvei would be Dharam, because he had no choice to utter them, so the argument from silence is a weak argument. It's a nice idea, but the Gemara doesn't say it. Like it doesn't flow out of anything in the Gemara.
Isn't it a fine judgment?
Isn't it what?
Isn't it a fine
judgment? Not really. I mean, I don't know. I don't think the Gemara, you know, the Gemara thought that it was a raya. I guess it would be good as a raya because it's an uber raya. But if you you could still say Dvarim Shalvei Adam, those are Dvarim. Yeah, but you'd accept, it doesn't, again, the Gemara only is Dochad, maybe Mitzvah Lashma Adar Chacham. When you get to the Maskana, why should we accept the Dachiyah? What seems to you in the Gemara that Mitzvah Lashma Adar Chacham is still alive?
Just working logically, doesn't have a
explanation
for all the cases. If you conclude
the
reason why...
The Rambam is the problem here. The problem is not, there's nothing problematic in the Gemara. Everything fits in the Gemara, that's not the problem. He's explained it so nicely. He explained how the Gemara is working with Rav Huna. Beautifully. Why Rav Huna isn't Shayach? Because Rav Huna is an Anas, and we're dealing with a Beis. You don't need to say anything after that. Mitzvah Shmada Chachamim was the possibility as to why maybe it's not even the Dvarim Shalvei. The Gemara was Docha. But at the end of the day, it, in other words, Mitzvah Shalvei says it's not even though. But it was, but really, it is Dvarim Shalvei, and we ignore it.
But the Maskana is Dvarim Shalvei, then Maskana is Maskana, and why is that Dvarim Shalvei, in order to not be Dvarim, has to be an umdana of why didn't you say the man's, which is not true.
Where does the Gemara say that? It's just a svara. He's in, you know, it's a nice idea, but you'd expect that the Gemara should have something in the structure of the flow of the Gemara should hint it to it. Okay. The last step in the Or Sameach is to, I guess we're not going to read inside, but that's okay. You've presumably read most of, maybe all of it inside. You might want a chazer just to see if you come out with the same face that I presented to you. Is he suggests that maybe it's even possible that by a Meshumad, even if it's Shalokadin. So firstly, the fact that he's a Meshumad might make it Kibin, definitionally. There's the two bears in the Ramah. But even if you don't assume like that day in the Ramah, he says maybe Shalokadin, you're allowed to force him through Megaris because since he's not allowed to live with her and he has all these obligations, he gets nothing from her with all these obligations. So by forcing through Megaris, that's how you are. Bizabin, not Tayyu of Yahid. Right? Normally you require Kidin, the Chi of Agarishin, to make it into a Tayyu of Bizabin. So he suggests by a guy where he cannot sleep with her, knows the Rishonim had originally suggested, maybe, and this would validate every forced debt. When you force a husband to divorce his wife, even Shalom Kidin, he's taught that from Sheretz Sasona. Well, I mean, Ona might not be a Chi, it might be something he's getting, it is something he's getting in exchange also. So the Rosh Hashanah says that maybe in this case, if there's an Isser Bia, so then all there's left that is Sheres Sus, which is a one-way obligation, and he gets nothing in return, so maybe really it is Tayyu of Azabin. He's benefiting financially from doing so, and therefore, even maybe a Mukhlaf Shalokadin, maybe, would be valid when it comes to, when it would be valid if it forces him. One of the things he also assumes, by the way, this has to be taken as a given, is that when you're forcing the Mukhlaf fears that either the Goyish Beisdin or the Jewish Beisdin with the permission of the Goyim will beat him to death. In other words, they're not going to limit themselves. In order for the psychology of Agam Unsa Gomer Megarish to work. Okay. I like my approach better, but if I don't know. I prefer to assume that the Rambam can say that a person who has to be beaten for what he called to finally give his wife a get is finally doing what he really wants to do. So you can say the same thing for Mukhlaf. The Mukhlaf, with them blinded by his Yetzer Hara to become Muslim, whatever religion he converted to, and really in his heart of hearts, the Pinto Yid is still alive. He really wants to be Jewish and really wants to do God's will, and therefore when he gives the get in this case, he's doing it because God wants him to get it. That would be that logic. But any questions? Okay. All right.